My name is Garland Robinson. We're going to be talking about identifying the church that Jesus built. And the only way we can do that is by looking to the Bible, the New Testament, and learning about its characteristics and the things that are mentioned therein. You know, multitudes have asked, and they're still asking, how can I know which church is right? How can I be sure in choosing one? Division and discord has promoted that kind of idea and quandary, and the dilemma can never be dissolved by looking to sectarianism for an answer. But the Word of God holds the key. The church of the Lord is well defined in the Bible. It's revealed as a divine institution free from human additives and innovations. The true church sits solidly on God's Word, which gives every distinct characteristic and mark of its identity. We have only to turn to a Thus Saith the Lord to be sure and to be certain when we're looking for the church that the Bible describes. Number one, we need to look to its founder. It was Jesus who declared in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. Now, who was he? Well, prophecy declared that this Messiah, this founder, would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And we're assured this came to pass just as it was promised, for we read about it in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. So we can be assured that any man born in any other place could not be the founder of that one true church. And since Jesus himself is the founder and builder, any man claiming to found or build a comparable church is a liar and an impostor. God had just one only begotten Son, and this Son promised to build only one church. Thus, every church founded by another is a counterfeit. It's a man-made institution in direct competition with the true divine church. Jesus warned in Matthew 15, verse 13, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And when we look in the world around us today and we find all kinds of denominational churches, each one claiming to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, claiming to have Him as their Savior, we need to look deeper than simply the claim about it and see the reality and see if it matches the pattern that we read about in the New Testament. For hear what the Lord said, that God would root up every plant which He did not plant. That's why we're told over in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 that we are to try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have entered into the world. That was true in the first century. That is true today. We're not to be so gullible to believe just anything someone says, even though they seem to be pious, even though they seem to be sincere and honest. We need to turn to the Bible and compare, investigate, make sure. And no one would get their feelings hurt over that, not if they're really honest, not if they're really sincere. That's just like this message I'm delivering now. You wouldn't be my enemy if you did not take my word for these things, but spent your own time in studying and comparing and researching and making sure. Matter of fact, that'd be music to my ears. We love it when people will take their Bible and read and study and to investigate to make sure that what is taught is right. Anyone that loves the truth should be interested in doing that. So when we're trying to identify the church that Jesus built, number one, we need to look to its founder. Number two, we need to look to its foundation. We read in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Later, Peter affirmed the fulfillment of this promise. We read about it in Acts chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12, when he said, this is the stone that was set at naught of you builders, course, he was talking about Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the one who had lived among them and performed miracles, the one whom many of them had taken and by wicked hands had crucified and slain. So he said, that's the stone. This is the stone that was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul likewise asserted in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He further stated that Christians are built upon this foundation as a holy temple of the Lord. And we read that in Ephesians 2 and verses 20 to 22. Any church, then, established on another foundation is destined for ruin and destruction. Only the church of Christ rests upon this sure foundation. It was given by prophecy. It was fulfilled in the first century. The church was organized and established, instituted on the day of Pentecost. We read when that first gospel sermon was preached in Acts 2. And people through the centuries, all men of every race and every nationality, of every status, when people will humble themselves to become obedient to the gospel, by faith then in their obedience, they become a child of God and are thus translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, which is the Church of Christ. And then number three, we need to look to the head of the church. Jesus occupies that unique position as the head of His divine institution, the church. It was so appointed by the Father, for we read about it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Then also, we find the same thing recorded in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. As the head of the church, He has no rival. Jesus declared Himself in Matthew 28, verse 18, all power hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth. The idea presented in power is authority. So He was saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Well, now that leaves no authority for man anyplace else. When the church is concerned, Jesus has complete and ultimate authority. He has no representative on earth that speaks in His behalf or gives legislation. The apostles and inspired men of the first century revealed what God wanted revealed through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Those things were recorded. They've now been compiled, and we have them in what we call the New Testament. That is the Word of God, and we need not look for any latter-day revelation because none exist. Now, if that is so, and it certainly is, that leaves no authority for any man where the church is concerned. Jesus is the only head. That leaves no place for any conference or synod or council or papal decree or dogma or any kind of organizational body or structure wherein they may determine policy and doctrine and try to hand that down to other people. The true church is in submission to Jesus Christ, and that is through His Word, the all-inspired Word, the Word of the Lord. And that is so in all things because that is the command of the Scriptures. And then number four, we need to look to the spiritual body. The Bible says there is one Lord, one head, and one body. Jesus Christ is head over His spiritual body. We read in Ephesians 1 and verse 21, where God gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, we read, so we, being many, are one body, and every one members one of another. We read in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Friend, Jesus Christ cannot be head of many different bodies. Rather, there is one head and one body. Anything else would be a monstrosity. It would be a freak, and we know that. Not one head and many bodies, nor one body and many heads. That is the most freakish portrayal presented by sectarianism, because that's what they want us to believe. They want us to think that the Lord is the head of the church, but that He has all kinds of bodies. And all you do is look in the yellow pages of the phone book, and there you find this body and that body, this denomination and that denomination. They would have us to believe that it really doesn't matter what you believe, what you practice in religion, as long as you accept the headship of Jesus Christ. Even one denomination believes there's two heads. They recognize that Jesus is the head of the church in heaven, but then they want a pope on earth, and they want to call him the vicar of Christ, or one who is representative of the Lord in this world. Therefore, that makes two heads, one in heaven and one on earth. Now, I can add that together. 1 + 1 = 2. So, sectarian churches cannot represent the church that you read about in the Bible, because Ephesians 5:23 says, Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Now, you cannot get around what the Bible says about that. So the church is the spiritual body. It is the bride of Christ. There's no other alternative. And then we need to look at the church's membership. Membership in the church of the Lord is dependent upon salvation from past sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter told the Jews on Pentecost, those who were listening to his sermon, that very first gospel sermon that was preached, when they were pricked in their heart, they cried out and said, Sirs, what shall we do? Acts 2 and verse 37. Well, the answer from heaven, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit given to Peter and the other apostles, their reply is found in Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, there were many that did receive that word. They did repent, they were baptized, and they were added that day to them about 3,000 souls. We're interested in doing what the Bible says, and that means to go back to the Bible. That's our plea, and we hope you'll join us again next time. My name is Garland Robinson.